Tonight we're going to bring you the special revised Evangelion Irish drinking song in honor, of course, St. Patrick's Day, but also the character of Suki Langley, who may not be Irish, but even the actress needs love.
Oh, yaddy.
She said her name was Ray. She said she was the best.
She said she used the maker.
A pilot above the rest.
I asked her if she'd go out with me.
I said it's so sincere.
She said, hey, your buddy.
You can pilot my Ray.
Oh, yaddy.
I was so pleased.
Yeah. Happy as can be.
I was the one.
And she's the one for me.
I asked her if I
could jump right on in.
And she said, hey, buddy.
Hold your breath, we're gonna swim.
Oh,
I asked her if she'd
happened to have any friends.
She said she had a few.
But they were half-breed blends.
There was a Suka.
And Shinji, too.
I asked her if he was strong.
She laughed the nail not through. Oh,
then came the angels.
Guarded by the light.
I asked her Ray if
she would spend the night.
She paused and gave it a thought.
I didn't know what she would say.
She said the angels need you for
they frightened her us anyway.
Oh,
those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to episode 70 of ASO Radio. This, of course, is NZ17,
G-Guy,
and DB3, bringing you a very special episode of ASO Radio. Now, of course, you might be thinking, special episode, oh, how many are you guys going to do? First, there was episode 64 and a half. Now, there's episode 70. When's it going to stop?
Well, shut up. I'll stop when I feel like it.
Anyways, of course, this is ASO Radio, and what makes it special is we have Z-Guy back on the show.
Yeah.
So, Z-Guy, of course, you're going to create that. Now, I don't know if you listened to the show in which P-Man was gone for a while, and then he showed up for one last show before he went back to his busy college life, but we made him go and create a fictitious reason why he was missing from the show. So when we get to the anime review portion of the show, you're going to have to go ahead and give us your fictitious reason for being away so very long.
Okay.
But before we get to that, we've got a bit of anime news, which we feel needs to be covered. So let's get right to that. And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News. Okay, well, in honor of Z-Guy's rare appearance, some might say rare as hen's teeth, I'm going to go ahead and let him take this news bit about Studio Ghibli's newest film, Howl's Moving Castle, because we have some very exciting news. Z-Guy, if you would, take the first news item.
Right here at the
top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Howl's Moving Castle, English cast announced courtesy of NotFan.net. According to Sports Hoochie newspaper?
Not Hoochie. Hoochie.
Hoochie in Japanese. The English cast for Howl's Moving Castle is Hal, Christian Bale, Old Sophie, Gene Simmons. Is that part of Kiss or something?
It's not relative of yours either. Now just keep going.
Young Sophie is still undecided. Which of ways does Lauren Bacall, Calcifer?
I believe so.
Billy Crystal, and Madame Suleiman is Blythe Danner. And unlike the Japanese version, Sophie will be played by two actresses, young and old. According to the article, the voice for the young Sophie has not been yet decided. The film will be open in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco on June 10th and in 60 other cities on the 17th. The article claims that it will be released on 700 to 800 screens. Wow.
Yes, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, I think we're going to need to make a trip to Salt Lake.
Yes, that I'll go to Salt Lake for. Now, a kind of interesting note is that when Spirit of Way was first released, this film, it was in a select group of theaters before its big release, but then its big release was only 150 theaters. But after it won the Oscar for Best Animated Picture, then the re-release of the film into theaters ballooned to between 700 and 800. But Howl's Moving Castle, apparently Disney learned their lesson, because it's going to start off with that with 700 to 800 screens. So we'll see how that all works out. DB3, if you would, take this one about Tokyo Pop.
Tokyo Pop has announced that it will release the Sakura Taisen manga on July 12th this year. The franchise, which started with a video game, has now spawned several follow-up video games, a TV series, four OAV series, and a feature film.
Now, I'll tell you right now, this entire, how did I put it, phenomenon of Sakura Wars or Sakura Taisen is so big that not only do I have the Japanese Dreamcast version of the first game, I can't even read Japanese. But I even got another friend of mine, he bought the first game for the Sega Saturn, the Japanese version. And he knows even less Japanese than I do. So obviously, very infectious. Okay, well, now we've got an interesting story about the co-producer of the recent motion picture Robots. You see, when asked by Box Office Mojo if 2D animation was it, Robots co-founder Jerry Davis pointed to the upcoming American release of Steam Boy, which some of you may recall is done by the same director as Akira, as an example of what 2D animation can still offer. In another article in the New York Times, it stated that Metropolis, both the original 1930s film, I believe, by Fritz Lang, and Tezuka, the godfather of anime, was among the influences in the design of Robot City, which I thought, you know, they did kind of look like the Astro Boy design.
Yeah.
Alright, well, take this next one if you would, Z-Guy.
Alright, according to the March 14th issue of
Nikkei,
New Mexico Secretary of Economic Development, Rick Homans, announced that New Mexico's government will set up an office in Tokyo this April with the objective to attract investments of the Japanese game and anime industries.
And I thought, isn't that the weirdest thing?
Now I'm jealous. I think I might be moving to New Mexico.
Oh, hey, man, it's a bordering state. It's open game. But, yeah, you know, that's very interesting. I mean, when you think, okay, New Mexico, you think, boy, they would be doing something in, I don't know,
Mexico?
This continent.
Oh.
Yeah, so very interesting.
I think that might help out the game and anime industry that way in Japan.
Well, if I recall correctly, there's actually a video game college near there. So they think they're trying to play off of that and get talented young Japanese men to come over to this country and maybe do a little, how to put it, Japanese-American games instead of just Japanese or just American games. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Being such an odd duck of a story, we'll be sure to cover that in the future if necessary. All right, well, I took part of the Howl's Castle, so did Z-Guy. How about you take this, DB3?
All right. On June 18th, Howl's Moving Castle...
18th? I want to double-check that.
June 10th. Howl's Moving Castle will be released in Los Angeles, New York, and San Francisco, and will expand to 60 other cities on June 17th. The Daily Yomiuri reports that unlike Miyazaki's Spirited Away, which was initially
Wait, I already said that part. Moving on. I meant, DB3, please take this one about the new Kaleido Star OAV.
Well, we have new information about the new Kaleido Star OAV.
Oh, okay. Which isn't related at all to $10 million made by Spirited Away after it reached 700 theaters.
Gonzo has announced production of Kaleido Star OAV titled Kaleido Star Good Da Yo Good.
It's good. Good Da Yo.
Production planning will be done on Gonzo's digital staff with the involvement of Junichi Sato and the original staff. Gonzo states small 3D characters will be moving around in charming and sweet ways.
Yeah, I just put that in there because I thought that the title for it was really, really funny. And then they do this weird chibi 3D character crap.
Moving,
you know,
in sweet ways.
Sweet ways, man. I'll tell you, a little chocolate or something. How about this one, Z-Guy?
Alright. Publishers Weekly has confirmed news about layoffs at 80 Vision. The new layoffs have been confirmed.
This works into a little thing I gotta say here in a minute. Would you continue there, Z-Guy?
Sure. According to Publishers Weekly, as many as 40 people have been laid off, with perhaps 25 from the manga division. ADV declines to give details, but confirmed that the layoffs happened.
Yes, yes. And this is why I believe I don't have volume 2 of You're in My Secret. The thing came out in 2003. I figured I was very patient. Now what do they do? Oh, they laid off 25 more people. Well, apparently I'm never going to get volume 2 of this, even though it was coming soon.
What's it say? With the anime and manga markets reaching the saturation points, ADV has adjusted its release schedule to slow down the number of products that they put into the market. In 2005, this year, ADV will release about 50 manga titles, down from 80 in 2004, and they will focus on titles for which they own both the anime and the manga license.
Yeah, big shocker there, eh, guys?
Yeah.
You would think that a company like ADV, the Microsoft, or the big people of anime and manga, wouldn't have to do that.
Well, see, that's the thing, is they don't have to do that, but because they're so large, not large as being a controlling monopoly, but they have so much influence that they can go and sway the anime market as they please. You know, and I don't like when power gets that unevenly distributed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they do some good work, so I can't say everything's bad. All right, so I will take this next piece of news, which I believe is the last one, and I'd like you guys to make comments as appropriate throughout the piece. Apparently, Satsuki and May's house ticket scalping continues. Yes, for those that follow our news story from last week, you see, countless tickets for the highly popular Satsuki and May's home at the World Fair, which of course is based off of My Neighbor Totoro, in Aichi, that have been reserved in advance are servicing at online auctions, such as bidders.co.jp. The World Fair Committee is concerned about the abuse, but have not yet found any valid means to address it. You see, Satsuki and May's home is a replica of the home of the heroines of the popular anime My Neighbor Totoro. While the tickets were free, only 800 people per day are allowed to enter with special reservation tickets, compared to the roughly 4,000 people a day for most of the other pavilions at Japan Expo 2005. The reservations for March and April tickets were accepted on the 1st of this month, and within 5 hours, all 29,600 tickets were reserved. Frankly, wouldn't have wanted to be in the ticket booth that day. On the same evening, tickets showed up on online auction sites. According to the World Fair Committee, they found 834 tickets auctioned online since then, selling for an average of 3,000 yen, with some tickets going up to 10,000 yen, which is about $96. The committee requested that the auction company remove the auctions in question. The auction company declined, saying that they could not verify the tickets were being scalped at inflated prices, an act which is forbidden in Japan. Currently, the committee Currently, the committee is in talks with IT officials to have the acquisition of tickets with the purpose of resale handled as a violation of Japanese law. You see, what's made things so difficult there is Expo 2005 does not require the registration of the person's name and address when the tickets are picked up, so it is impossible for them to confirm that the person attending the exhibit is the one who made the reservation. So, in the meantime, the committee is requesting that people not participate in the online auctions. This jaded news reporter, however, feels no one will listen.
Well, what do you expect? If you weren't awake during those 5 hours, and you really wanted to go, how else are you going to do it?
Yeah, if you're a big, you know, Miyazaki fan, and you don't live near that museum, you know, that's about the best way to get it, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyways, that last one was really long. And I thought that we've adequately covered the news for this week. As a matter of fact, this episode was in the same week as another episode, so we're really crunching them in this time. See, that's the way I work. Slack off for a long time, then I put a whole bunch up. So enjoy while it lasts. Who knows when I'll slack off again. It's not a new view, it's not a preview, it's a review. Anime review. Okay, Z-Guy, now I gave you fair warning. Now you gotta go and give us the intricate, fictitious, and humorous anecdote about why you've been missing from the show for so long.
So where have you been?
Yes, where have you been, Z-Guy?
You see, guys, mm-hmm. I was abducted by aliens.
No. T-Man was abducted by aliens. He didn't mention anything about you.
We were abducted by aliens too, remember that?
Yeah, but then they just turned out to be long-haul truckers.
Yeah.
They might turn out to be something else, I don't know.
No, the D.O. was our first clip.
Now,
Z-Guy, you can't leave until you give us a good, fictitious reason.
All right.
Besides, aliens have been done to death.
Yeah.
I know, because we had steaks tonight.
It was just such a good option.
Well, I know.
Well, maybe after the mail.
Well, okay, maybe what we do is we just need to give Z-Guy a little hand, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll give him a suggestion whenever he stalls, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go first. Okay, start telling your story, Z-Guy, and I'll give you a suggestion as soon as you hit a roadblock.
Okay. You see, this happened a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And,
metal-eating squirrels.
Metal-eating squirrels came out of nowhere and started rapidly attacking me.
Really? Really?
Wow, that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
And then I kind of tried to get away and...
I heard they dragged you to their underground cavern.
The big spacious one. With the thousands of metal-eating squirrels?
Yeah.
And anyway, they chewed me to bits and I got...
Well, you know, you're looking pretty chipper these days for having that happen.
Yeah. Anyway, these little squirrels, they were, like, really annoying, so...
Mm-hmm.
I heard the moles, the evil moles came in, attacked the...
About that big conflict.
Yeah.
Yeah, the evil moles came in, and there was this huge interplanetary war in between the metal squirrels and the moles.
I see, because I had heard that the metal-eating squirrels actually weren't trying to go and attack you. They were just forceful in getting you because they believed that you were their messiah. Tell us a little bit about that bit, because they were all like, Avatar, Avatar, Avatar.
Yeah, well, I happened to be carrying some high-end explosives with me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the squirrels saw this, and, you know, they're made out of metal, so they're kind of not prone to that. But the moles are. And so they saw this, and they saw, you know, some potential, I guess. And they were just entrusting me to do rapid things to these moles.
Okay, but now I heard that while you were there, it's funny, it really parallels Star Wars in a lot of ways, that actually the princess of the Fox people fell in love with you. Now tell us, how was she also imprisoned there at the same time?
Yeah, she did happen to be there. I had to get her out of the clinker, you know, and everything.
Oh, well, that's only the right thing to do, the knightly thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Very chivalrous.
Chivalrous.
How was your reaction when she first saw you?
And how did you manage to go and get her out of that? Was she actually captured by the mole people, or was she captured by the metal-eating squirrels?
No.
If so, why?
Oh, she was captured by the mole people, and the reason was,
Yes.
She was a pretty red color.
And so the moles, having poor eyesight, that thought that she was some sort of quality capture, like some sort of thing to be put on display for its beauty, since that's about the only thing they could see.
Yeah, something like that.
Very interesting story.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, tell us about your heroic escape from this conflict and how true love went and saw you through and what happened in the end.
Well, it was a pretty tough fight to get out of there. Mm-hmm. We had to shoot our way through an air duct that was made down there.
I would have never seen that coming.
And we got thrown into a trash bin and almost died because of the compactor. But,
wow.
A special little metal squirrel that I made friends with before helped me out, and we found a ship and got off the planet. So
how did
the planet? How did you get back to Earth? Because this was underground here. And so, were you on another important mission? Did the Fox Princess know something that, you know, was vital to something like on Mars or Venus, possibly a further planet?
Definitely. It was an interplanetary war. We had to go to the kingdom of the moles in another galaxy.
So moles aren't actually native to here?
Apparently not.
No.
How did the squirrel people feel as you left them?
I mean, that had to be upsetting, unless it was part of prophecy.
Oh, they knew I was going to return someday, and uh-huh. You know, I'm here back on Earth, obviously, so, and it's a long story.
Oh, I know, and it's so engaging that I want to hear more. Tell me, what happened when you finally got to the Mole People's planet?
Well, I'm thinking we ought to leave this for another two episodes later.
You know, you got a good point, it is going a bit long, but I don't really care, let's hear it.
This is interesting.
I mean, okay, well, tell us what the Fox Princess knew.
We're trying to help you catch up on all the episodes you missed.
We got to know what the Fox Princess needed you for on the planet of the Mole People.
Well, you see, there is this evil force on the planet of the Mole People.
Right.
There is this big one, and he wore this deathly mask. It looked like one of those German helmets from World War II.
Now, this force, was it called Enron? Because I heard a lot of ducks and things got covered in oil and looked like that.
Yes, it is called that.
So what does Enron do exactly?
And did they have any troubles?
Troubles.
Yeah, the trouble of troubles? Star Trek episode?
Yes, there were troubles. Very big troubles.
I see, and the moles didn't know how to deal with the troubles. And I assume these troubles were being led by this dark-masked tribal leader.
Oh, yeah. He was the head honcho of the whole group.
So how did you go approach him and
How did you finally resolve everything?
Well, you know, he kind of confronted me, and he tried to trap me in this carbon freezing stuff.
Yeah.
And
it almost sounds blatant. blatantly retelling another story.
Okay, so anyway,
might need a little more.
I have all these explosives with me, right?
Right.
I remember that part, and so I didn't use them up to this point because you know there's a lot of fighting back on Earth. But anyway,
you gotta respect the home turf.
He tried to freeze me. He froze
the princess.
No, not the princess. We took some of her servants.
Oh, okay.
The tulips. And so...
So what I'm getting from this is that the Fox Princess took pity upon the poor mole people, and that's why she saw you as being the way to go and help these people, apparently due to your large explosives.
Yeah, so anyway, what happened is I used my big explosives, and I blew up this guy with the mask, this mole person with the mask.
Right.
And I freed all the little moles from the slavery that they were in.
Oh, very cool. So how did you then manage to get back to Earth?
Well, actually there is a lot more that happened than that. You know, the conflict kind of went on for ages
and
different races and
at
people
least
and animals
like
and
6 months.
Oh, yeah. And then after the universe was saved, we got a ship and came back to Earth.
Ah. Well, you know, the least they could do is, you know, give you a ship to come back to Earth in.
Oh, yeah.
So is this ship that you spoke of, is that the one we're going to NDK in?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, sweet. I knew you were going in style, but man, that's like, you know, a whole nother level there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, there you have it in a nutshell. The reason DB3 and I haven't seen Z-Guy for so long is, well,
I was
he had to go and, you know, be the messiah of the metal-eating squirrels and rescue the mole people from the oppression of the trebles. I mean, really, who couldn't have seen that coming? It's so obvious.
Fan mail.
All right, well then, we definitely did a smattering of a very nice story there. I actually could see that being the plot for a very popular anime. But it is time to move on to the fan mail section of the show. And what we've got here is two separate emails from an egg render. The subject for both of these being mat growing and drawings. Now, as you can hear, Z-Guy has successfully disarmed the bomb, and we are going to be able to continue the show now without fear of going into little explodey bits. Z-Guy, next time, leave your explosives at home.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, the first fan mail, if you can call it as such, from A. Grender reads, I would love to see prices on some of your drawings of The Simpsons. It is one of my favorite TV shows. Then the second one, which came shortly thereafter, read, oh, this is an name thing. I'm assuming he means anime. And then he writes, anime stinks, it is stupid, and crappy. Okay, well, you know, there's a number of different ways to address this. And I'm going to go and choose the tactful way, is what I should say if I was nice. But since I'm not a very nice person at all, what I'm going to be doing is addressing this in several different possible responses that I could give. First, the condescending approach. Okay, Mr. Grender, what you're on right now is called the Internet. Now, do not confuse this with volleyball or basketball or other such sports involving nets. This is a network of computers that talk to each other over an information structure. What you are trying to do is write to Matt Rowing. He lives in Oregon. We are in Utah. These are states of the United States of America, a large country in North America. So what you need to do is either find the postal office and ask for further instructions on contacting this Simpsons creator, whatever that is, or you need to go and find the correct website of Mr. Growing, who I hear has a fascination for purple hair chicks and metal robots. Okay, now we're going to take another approach to this, the Scooby-Doo ending. Drat you, eh, Glinda. Drat you. I would have gotten away with my plans of passing off Japanese animation as American, but you and your meddling dog have stopped me. Okay. Now I'm going to take the duh approach to things. Yes, Mr. Grender, we've got your pictures here of the Simpsons waiting, and you just need to go and pick them up. So simply go ahead and PayPal $48.96 to me at sean@nz17.com, and we'll talk. Okay, next up we have the, you know what, I'm just going to say whatever approach. Oh yeah, The Simpsons, I love that show. For me to poop on! Nah, anime stinks. Well, apparently grammar and spelling stink as well. As well as education. So next time you're going to write a complaint letter to me, instead of saying anime stinks, it is stupid and crappy, might want to go and use some adverbs which accurately describe anime. As a non-living entity, I doubt it is capable of producing excrement and or having intelligence. So thank you for the message, but next time, a little more planning.
The thought I have out when I read this is, how did you get to the fan mail page? How can you send it without knowing it's an anime website?
Especially at the top where it says in black and white, anime radio program. Yeah, I'm thinking just an ass. And if, by the way, if this is Tim Gunter, so yeah, I think that more or less wraps up this letter from A. Grender. All I've got to say is, have you guys ever heard of the Simpsons thing before? Because really, I'm clueless here.
Simpsons? What the heck are those?
Is it like a sitcom or possibly a magazine?
I could honestly tell you.
All right, well, let's go to something that we actually know about.
Tasty to eat.
It could be. Maybe it's his neighbors. Why does he want pictures of his neighbors? Is he some sort of perv? Jesus. All right, this next one comes from Warp Shadow, subject of fan mail. Would you take this one, Z-Guy?
Sure. In regards to episode 63.5, a.k.a. 63.5. One, about British anime. Anime is licensed to each country separately. The UK doesn't get as much stuff as in America.
Okay, I'll go ahead and reply to this first line. Hey, Warp Shadow, what you are on is called the Internet. What you need to do is find the appropriate website to address these sort of replies to people that don't know about the different licensing options available, and that each country must get the appropriate rights for their region. Okay, you were saying, B-Guy.
Okay. Number two. That was a very good review and was more in-depth than most. As for your conspiracy theories, I was able to rent Porco Rosso or Nausicaa.
Now, this sentence lacks something. I believe it is a contraction. I think the original sentence was supposed to say, as for your conspiracy theories, I wasn't able to rent Porco Rosso or Nausicaa, because the sentence doesn't make as much sense when you say, I was able to rent Porco Rosso or Nausicaa. That makes as much sense.
Maybe it was supposed to say, as for your conspiracy theories, I was able to rent Porco Rosso and Nausicaa.
Mm-hmm. That's also another option. So, need a little clarification next time, but I appreciate you getting fan mail in before the show. You guys?
Okay. Number three. Actually, Space Butler comes back, but he can't fix his mustache.
Now, taken out of context, this sentence makes no sense. Well, it makes sense, but all I've got to say is, Mabashu! Ziga?
Number four. It's a good thing that you don't have a silly voice for me. Scratch that.
We already covered that in a previous episode. You just haven't heard it yet. Well, wait, now that we're back in the future, because DB3 and I went to the past last week, since we're now back in the future, he would have heard it by the time this ends. So. All right, number five.
Number five. As about SG. Sorry.
It's our code name from last episode.
Oh, okay. As about SG, you would also mean Gainax?
Gainax.
Big
animation studio.
Oh.
You see, Z-Guy, what you're in is a recording studio for an anime program, which is about Japanese cartoons. Gainax, kind of a staple. You might have even heard of a little so-called Neon Genesis Evangelion. They had a hand in that. As a matter of fact, they did everything.
Oh.
Anyway, is that you were attempting to say?
Okay. Robots. Giants? Or Gants?
No, it's supposed to be Giant. So, what, how about you just start number five over?
Okay, number five.
Oh, wait, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
As about SG, you could also mean Gainax, robots, giant, or made for everybody.
Yay! Kenneth Russi will be thrilled. Number six?
About live-action Sailor Moon. Some things are just better in anime. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that one. For example, Sailor Mercury looks really weird in real life to do the blue hair.
Due to the blue hair wig that she wears in the live-action Sailor Moon that DB3 and I were talking about last week. What's your retort to the last one there, DB3?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some things should just not be messed with. Like the Ark of the Covenant, the original Star Wars movies, and don't mess with Sailor Moon.
Oh, baby, a hot spot.
All right, well, we've got the hot spot now happening. And as a special punished treat to Z-Guy, we're going to go ahead and let him do a video game review for us. And then...
I thought it was a movie review.
No, you're going to do Halo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Enough about you and your popular movies. Let's talk about popular video games.
Oh, all right.
And then we'll just blah, blah, blah about crap. You know, witty banter. Witty. Go ahead, DB3.
All right.
I said DB3! Okay.
I'll give you my turn.
Go ahead, Z-Guy. So selfish.
Oh, no. I couldn't possibly. You guys can do it.
Yes, you can do it.
No. Shut up. Damn.
Okay.
Tell us about Master Chief.
Master Chief?
Halo.
Halo is Master Chief?
Oh, never mind. Just talk about the game.
Okay, we're going to do a review on Halo 1. The first Halo. Good video game. Let's see. I forget what the categories are. Number one.
No, actually, we just kind of ditched that whole...
Oh, did you? Really?
Yeah, it's basically instead of giving it a numeric score, now we use the not recommended, neutral, recommended, highly recommended, and top recommendation.
No, I mean for like store.
Yeah, I know what you meant on that. I was getting to that. Now instead, basically for the video game reviews, I mean, you can touch on the graphics, the story, the control, and all that. But the important things you should talk about are the entertainment value, the replayability, and the difficulty.
Okay.
It's our new three-pronged approach.
All right. You're gonna
with the thumb thrown in for good measure.
All right. Number one, entertainment. Correct?
Yes.
All right. For the entertainment, I really like this game. This game was really incredibly entertaining. For all of you fans out there who like the old games like 007 or Perfect Dark and
Redemption. Yeah, I am some real old games there, Z-Guy.
Oh, yeah.
You should have said something more like Duck Hunt.
Yeah, you don't use a gun.
That's how you do.
No, you pretend to have a gun in Halo. Oh, yeah. You don't even get a real gun, you know, a real fake gun to shoot. You got to have a fake gun. It's pretty fake.
That's true.
Sorry. Go ahead, Z-Guy.
That's okay. Anyway.
Who said Doom, then? Wolfenstein.
And Doom, yeah. Wolfenstein. And to all you fans of these games,
or Catacombs.
Or Catacombs.
Or Bungie's original first-person shooter, Marathon.
There we go. There we go.
And a million other such games. I think you will definitely like this one.
How do you know I'd like this one? Tell me more.
Okay.
Sweet. Convince us.
This game involves a fight in between this Halo guy, and I don't know his name, but
His name will be Steven.
We'll name him Steven. That sounds good. So, Steven and the other humans that are along with him are trying to battle...
Bob and Gary.
And you go through the game, shooting them out, killing everybody. They have a very wide variety of different characters, different types of aliens that vary in difficulty and different strategies on...
Like Susan and Raphael.
Like that, yeah. And
don't forget Splinter.
Those are good alien names.
Kind of for... I'm not going to divulge into the storyline. You just basically end up trying to save the Halo.
Well, now, hold on there, Z-Guy.
Okay.
This first-person shooter has a storyline?
Yeah.
That's very atypical for most first-person shooters.
Yes, it is.
And tell me, does this storyline enthrall?
Probably not so much. It's not one of the best features of the game, but it is still there, and it is somewhat entertaining, yes.
Well, okay, but in first-person shooters, the story is never very strong.
Right.
Does it give you motivation, though?
I would not say that the storyline is the motivating factor behind, the entertainment factor of it. I would say it's the playability of the game in itself. It's a very entertaining game, fun to actually play and to figure out how to get around these aliens and whatnot. That's what I would say.
Does the control go and contribute well towards the playability?
Yes, it does. Like the controls in stuff like GoldenEye 007 back on the N64, this one is very easy to get used to. It's customizable to just about whatever you want, and it makes for good gameplay that way. Yeah.
I've heard that some of its better points is the multiplayer features.
Let's see. You can play the game in cooperation mode, where you go together.
Or co-op, as the hip kids say.
Oh, yeah. I haven't played any of the arenas.
Not to be confused with
multiplayer. Like, four against four in just a single arena. I don't even remember if it has a mode like that, but... It is also fun, and it makes it a little bit easier to get past the difficulty levels.
Well, at any point in which you're not sure whether a feature is or isn't in Halo 1, just say, but it was fixed in Halo 2,
okay.
For the rest of this review. Just say that.
All right, it was fixed in Halo 2.
Oh!
Okay.
What about the difficulty?
I believe this game has four levels of difficulty, ranging from easy to legendary.
Classy title.
Easy, hard, hero, and legendary are the different difficulty levels. One is easy, any Joe Schmo can get through it. On legendary,
Now wait, I know Joe, and he's not, you know, I mean, he's not bad, but he's pretty mediocre. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
So, you know, just because you're not that good at games like this, you can, they have the option there so that you can...
You know, geez, Z-Guy, first you tell me, you know what I'm going to like, now you're telling me I'm bad at first-person shooters. You know, you're awfully assumptive today.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you weren't addressing me. I apologize.
Oh, you'll get over
it. Aren't you insulted by him saying you're bad at first-person shooters?
I'm not even talking to him.
Okay, good. Maybe I can finish the review.
Well, let's just pretend he was talking to the audience at home.
All right. So, the legendary difficulty. I tried playing through this game on the first level of the game on legendary. I could not get past the first group of aliens that appeared in the level. Needless to say, if you really like difficulty, this is one for you. It's not impossible, but it is... improbable.
Well, let me ask your opinion on something here then, Z-Guy.
Okay.
Now, the difficulty setting is called legendary, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now, do you assume that this is because a player must be legendary himself or herself to go and play through the difficulty, or is it just because the difficulty of that setting itself is legendary?
I would say the setting itself is legendary.
What was that, DBC?
Maybe going through it will make you legendary.
Ah, yes. So what do you think, Z-Guy?
I think it would make one legendary. That would be cool. Yeah.
Ah. Sweet. Okay, but tell me, though. This game does sound like it could be very fun to play through if you're into that sort of game. Possibly even if you're not. And it does sound like it has a different difficulty levels for each type of player so that anyone can access it instead of having a single set difficulty in which that may deter some lesser or bore some greater players. But tell me, how does it stand up to repeated play?
If you're like one of those players who likes to play through it the first time and then set it on a different difficulty level,
yes.
It's fun that way. You can also play through it with a friend if you'd like. So its playability would last for, you know, at least a little while, maybe a couple, three, four times through the game. After that, I would imagine it'd start getting old like some of these old, you know, like 007, you know, everybody's played.
So basically, once you memorize the maps and the enemy placements, then the replayability just kind of diminishes.
Exactly.
No fun playing against a player that knows everything when you don't, huh?
Exactly.
All right, well, on our grand golden scale of ASO Radio ratings, how do you rate Halo 1 for the Microsoft Xbox?
I would say, let's see, it was definitely recommended.
Okay, there's... top recommendation. There's highly recommended, recommended, neutral, not recommended.
There we go. Okay, I'm going to give this one a highly recommended.
Ah. And, okay, so to wrap up this highly recommended review, I highly recommend this review, you say. what would you say were some of the things that needed to be fixed that could give this a top recommendation?
Let's see. They could give it a little bit better sound. I do like presentation extremely. I think it could be edged up in a few places, though. And, yeah.
What about the story?
The story, yeah, the story could be edged up a little bit, you know, on the older games. Story...
mm-hmm.
Could definitely be pumped up a little bit and have a little bit more influence in the things that you do in the game.
That's funny. First off, you say, the story's not that great. Now you're saying, oh, it only needs a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so it does need a lot. So what?
All right. Now, as a special treat to the listeners at home, what we're going to do is just kind of go and blah, blah, blah about things and say, blee, blee, blee. And what we're going to do first, give a little structure to it, is DB3, based upon Z-Guy's review of Halo 2, now I want you to go and give a compressed review of it as though you had played it, but thought completely the opposite of what he thought about it, and thus bring him to task on each of the things he said was good about the game.
Well,
and then emphasize the bad ones as well.
Mm. More or less, I didn't like Halo. It just wasn't that fun. Like, I just breezed through it on everything. Like, I don't know.
How do you respond to that, Z-Guy?
It is higher difficulty. interesting.
DB3, any other refutes you have to bring here on Anime Crossfire?
Most of the thing people always say is, well, you can hook it up to other Xboxes and have a huge game thing. I don't even like the multiplayer. Like, I'd rather go with Time Splitters 2 for the GameCube.
Your response, you guy?
Play it with a friend who loves it.
DB3, the floor once again is yours, or if you would like to respond to that.
Play it with a friend who likes it. That's just too easy. When you're playing it with 32 other people, I'm sure at least one of them will like it.
Oh, good retort there, DB3. Z-Guy, what about you bringing him to task? I mean, DB3 claims this is one of the worst titles for the Xbox.
I think it's one of the best. It's gotten the best reviews from the big companies out there.
It's only one of the few games for the Xbox.
Good point, DB3. Scumbag Z-Guy, how do you respond?
It got the top review for the year, what was it, 2001?
But isn't it true, DB3, that the Xbox itself is large and ungainly in size, very heavy, and that even its controllers are influenced by its uncontrollable eating?
Yeah, it's true.
How do you report? I hear that the PlayStation 2 has been working out lately, and now he's much slimmer than he was before.
Oh, yeah. I gotta agree. The especially that PlayStation Portable looks really tempting.
Or pissed.
Yeah. That works, too. Yeah.
You know, if people go and buy those on March 24th and their units are effective, they're going to be really pissed.
The only retort that I have to that is, go with a little variety, please.
Well, in DB3, you were saying something about this game being possible on the original PlayStation. It's that bad?
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels sort of wonky.
No platforming elements, I hear.
None.
How do you retort to that? Z-Guy, how can you have a first-person shooter without extensive, precise platforming elements? Yes. I mean, really, what first-person shooter today does not utilize that to its fullest?
What are platforming
elements? Super Mario Brothers. That has platforming elements. Like, you miss a jump, you're going to die.
If you miss a jump, you're going to die.
Well, apparently our experts on this panel aren't so expert as they thought. Next up, Hannah Dean Combs. Okay, so now what we're going to do... next up, what we're going to do is... Z-Guy, you've been gone for a very long time. As a matter of fact, I think it's almost been 5 years. So, what we're going to talk about here real quick is tell us about some of the anime that you've been watching lately.
I've been watching a few different... I've actually bought a lot of anime. I bought the entire...
Have you bought more than you've watched?
Yeah, no.
You know what? Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right, that was awkward.
No, wait. It's coming.
Okay.
It's not loaded at all. Feel free to freely walk around, you guys.
All right. Anime I've watched, anime I've bought, anime... I haven't watched that I would like to. I've recently I've bought the entire box set of the first volume of Evangelion.
Mm-hmm. Now we don't have to go rent it or anything. We can just borrow it.
Hey, you know, that's a good point, DB3. We could simply go and borrow from Z-Guy at our leisure and then take months to return it like that manga volume of mine. That sounds pretty good, don't it, Z-Guy?
That sounds great.
Awesome. So what you thinking, you've watched through Evangelion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've watched him through the entire first
game. Now, I've only seen about the first half dozen episodes. DB3 here, you've watched most of it?
I've seen most of it.
And so what do you have to say after watching through it all?
I want to see the two movies that they made afterwards.
Well, there's three movies.
I know there's three movies, but the series...
Yeah, so you have to watch the first one so you can re-see everything you've already saw. Isn't that what anime is all about? I mean, the magical girl genre wouldn't exist without that.
Okay, I'll just have to watch all three then.
Oh, okay. But the ending of the series, is that satisfying, or do you need the movies to get that satisfaction?
You need the movies to get the satisfaction. Yes.
Anything else you want to say about it? Possibly it's ties with the popular PlayStation RPG Xenogears.
It does have an immense variety of ties that it has into Xenogears, you can definitely tell.
Hey, not as immense as the ties between Nosco, the Valley of the Wind, and Final Fantasy. See last episode.
That's true. An immense amount of ties. I liked most of the ties. Some of them,
Striped?
Striped?
The ties, were they striped?
Why, yes.
Ah!
They were. And some of them had polka dots, too.
Don't stop talking, because I'm talking.
Okay.
Okay, but the ties in the show.
The ties in the show, I liked most of them. Some of them weren't as good, and you can definitely tell that Takahashi, he definitely kind of wound things up a little bit in Xenogears and made it a lot better in Xenogears. But you can tell that he did actually get the inspiration from Evangelion. And I do like most of the points about Evangelion. Has a few points in it that aren't as strong as Xenogears. But nonetheless, it is still a very good anime.
Yes, well, to see all our guests, just go to that episode where we reviewed Volume 2. That was a lot of fun. Okay, well, what else have you seen?
I also bought My Neighbor Totoro. I did see Castle in the Sky from Miyazaki.
Castle in the Sky with diamonds?
With diamonds?
You know, Lucy in the Sky with diamonds. You know, Castle in the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So, I don't own that one. I did rent that one, actually. Let's see. I saw one other, and I can't remember what it is now.
Akira?
What is Akira?
What is Akira?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah?
Oh, that was it. It was Spirited Away, one of the new Miyazaki films. I've seen that as well. Really good movie.
And out of that lot of Miyazaki films, all right. Very good. Which was your preferred?
Between which ones?
The ones you just listed.
All the ones I just listed.
My Neighbor Totoro, Castle in the Sky, and Spirited Away.
You know what? Can I say it's a tie?
No.
No? Dang.
Just list them in order.
Okay.
I guess I have two that are tied, if you want.
Okay, first I'm going to have to go with Spirited Away.
Okay.
Really good movie. Second, Evangelion.
That's not a Ghibli film.
No, it's not. I thought you meant all the ones.
No, ranking just the Ghibli films.
Oh, just the Ghibli films. No, okay.
SG.
Oh, yeah, SG.
SG.
Last episode we said we weren't going to refer to them anymore. We've been talking a lot about them.
Okay, SG. Movies of SG.
Yes.
Okay, number one, I'm going to have to go with Spirited Away. Number two, Princess Mononoke. Number three, Castle in the Sky. Number four.
Number four?
He named Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, that wasn't one of the ones you just
heard. Oh, okay, never mind.
Well, how about, okay, just list them. Just the Ghibli films, your favorites, starting at the top. SG! SG!
SG! He doesn't mean Ghibli. SG!
Studio Gainax. Studio Gonzo! just go.
Okay, do you want me to name off the rest of them?
ZBG's top 10 list of Ghibli anime. Number 1.
Spirited Away.
Number 2.
Princess Mononoke.
Number 3.
Castle in the Sky.
Number 4.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Number 5.
Kiki's Delivery Service.
Number 6.
I don't know if I watched any of
this. That's okay, we'll fill them in later.
Okay.
And there's your top 10. okay, so, alright, that's pretty good. What have you bought that you haven't watched yet, though?
I haven't, like I said, I haven't bought anything that I haven't watched. I've watched everything.
So, you've made time to watch over 30 hours of anime, but not one week have you stopped by here for how many episodes?
Or right in.
Could simply just send a little fan mail in, you know, throw us a bone here, Z-Guy.
I'm not quite sure that it's 30 hours, is it?
Evangelion, that alone was 13.
Yeah, but still, it's not 30.
Well, it's mighty close in my book. you just
say 15.
Well, 13 for Evangelion. We'll say plus 2 for Spirited Away. Plus 2 more for Totoro. Mm-hmm. 2 more for Castle in the Sky.
It adds up quick there, Z-Guy. I'll say at least
17.
At least 25 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, alright, well, apparently, though, Z-Guy hasn't heard. A month ago, they came out with three new Miyazaki films. Is that cool or
actually,
what?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Really?
Yes, it is very cool, yes.
Because, you know, it's funny. Funny story here. But it seems you haven't watched any of those.
No, not yet.
Now, I hear that Engage the Fox Princess, first of all. now, as everybody knows, quality boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiancé, fiancé time, is spent watching movies. Now, what is a better way to spend three movie nights than watching the three latest Ghibli films? And I have to say, start off with The Cat Returns.
No, No, you want to wait for Whisper of the Heart.
True. He does have to watch Whisper of the Heart. But he should watch The Cat Returns, then watch Whisper of the Heart, then watch The Cat Returns again.
That's true.
See? Mm-hmm.
We could. I can see this turning into a section of the show. You know, my experiences with these three new movies.
Z-Guy's Adventures in Anime.
Yeah. There you go.
40 minutes into the show, we began to embrace. I said, "Hey, check out that cat. He's got a top hat and cane." see. So there you go. Perfect movie fodder.
Mm.
See. You know, $60 well spent.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well then, all right, well let's change the subject then. Let's make fun of how DB3 looks. Look at him! Well, you do have redeeming qualities, you know, DB3. Your stupidity is often mistaken for naivety, and you dress poorly. So, you know.
At least those are the only two.
Yeah. I was just getting started, you know. All right, we'll change that away, because we don't even want to start talking about how I look.
at least we still have glasses.
Yeah, somebody's the two eyes out.
and I talked them all.
You know what? I bet our audience could come and actually see all of us live at NDK 2005.
That's true.
Or like to say, live at 05. Oh, yes. It's going to be a good time.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even said that. I don't like to say that.
I like to say that.
I think it's kind of snazzy myself.
And 8 out of 10 of my voices in my head agree, it's fun.
Well,
yay! So, how about we tell our audience about our planned trip to NDK 2005?
Is this going to be the same as us talking about our trip from 2001?
No! the next time we talk about NDK, it'll be about 2005, and it will be split into three different shows, one for each day of the con. But let us tell them of some of our plans that we have in store for NDK 2005.
Can we do that in 5 minutes?
We can do that in as much time as we feel like. okay, so first of all, I heard that we have a very nice spaceship to get there in. Is this true, Z-Guy?
It is true.
Tell us about all the features.
It is a snazzy silver color.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can go pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah.
It has, it doesn't have GPS, but it has some pretty snazzy music in it.
Is it better than the one we went in last time? Or?
Yes, it is.
Oh! The one we went in last time is very similar to my car. So, yeah. Thanks a lot, DB3. okay, and I also hear that you have a digital camera of sorts that we'll be bringing along.
Yes, that is true.
Tell us a bit about that.
it's your pretty snazzy... digital camera.
So now everyone knows about our chip that we're going to have.
Okay, well, fine. We won't talk about the camera. Let's talk about what we will be doing with the camera and where they can get the $20 autographed group pictures of...
There we go.
I'm sorry. never mind about our private bedroom shoot. What I was going to say is that we'll have three different cameras. I will have a digital camera, Z-Guy will have a digital camera, and DB3 will have a telescopic lens on his 35mm. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Exactly. So, what we're going to be doing is we're going to have a very awesome cosplay shoot at NDK 2005 using our various cameras and equipment. What we're going to be doing is hopefully we'll be able to go and set up a bit of a display in one of the halls at NDK 2005, in which we'll have a very nice big blue tarp, courtesy of Z-Guy, and we will be taking pictures of cosplayers in front of that. And also we'll be bringing along our registry, in which we will have the cosplayers write their names, the anime that their character is from, and the character they're dressed as, to give a proper accreditation on the artist gallery section of the MD17 Productions website. So lots of fun to be had there. Of course, we'll be at, like NDK 2001, interviewing all of the interesting guests of honor, and putting unlike 2001, we'll be putting the interviews up on the site because I ain't gonna lose them again.
Maybe we'll be getting some more fun pictures of people in their books, laying all over them.
Yeah, well, it's no nothing more fun than taking pictures of little golden books. We've got a whole bunch of things planned for our panel. DB3, how about you refresh them on what our panel will be?
I don't want to.
You will refresh!
I'm not going to.
Wrigley's, the experiment gun. No, okay. Our panel is broken into two parts. Part A and Part B. Or Part 1 and Part 2. Or Part I and Part II. And that's it. Oh, no. The first one will be a Q&A session where you ask us about how we do the show and who we do the show with and how many teeth we have. And basically tell about how we do our show and what it takes to get it done. Don't listen to me on that section. I never put up episodes though. And then the second part, we will be doing a live recording of the show. During both sections, we'll be giving away some of our fantastic prizes from the ASO Radio Mystery Vault, which, by the way, DB3, we have not gotten any entries in to any of our contests except for one from Azure in our fan art contest.
Wow.
So right now, Azure is going to be winning by default unless we get some more entries in our fan art contest, and prizes will go unawarded for our poster of the month for the forum and for our promoter of the month. So, you know, people out there need to get cracking. But anyways, we'll be giving out prizes from our mystery vault that we'll have. There will be all sorts of anime DVDs, tapes. Actually, we're going to be taking the VHS tapes, putting them together in packs of six, and calling them anime six packs. A bit of fun and a nice way to get rid of some old stuff. And we'll also be having ASO Radio CDs and t-shirts available for sale as well. And at the request of the people there, we will sign said shirts, because we're just that nice. And we like seeing our stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
So, and we'll also be giving away prizes of shirts and CDs while we're there. Let's see. There's a lot more planned for the panel. I can't, you know, say everything on here, then there won't be any exciting stuff. We'll be covering the different important events at NDK 2001, and I hear rumors of a certain Irish drinking song making an appearance. So, we're going to have a lot of fun there at NDK, and possibly this year, Z-Guy will sit in 4 hours at a panel about sex in Japan and give us a report this time.
Oh, boy.
And man, you sat in that room forever about the culture differences between America and Japan.
Yeah, because I thought it was very interesting.
Ah, lots of stuff you learned there, eh?
Yeah, some.
Oh, good, because we have about 40 minutes of free air. How about you get talking? Nope. Still got 39 minutes. Go ahead.
39 minutes?
Yep. You got to fill it up with talking about the double life of Japanese people.
The double life?
Oh, he doesn't even remember what he saw for 4 hours. Okay, well, that's all right. We need to wrap up the show anyways. But anyways, NDK 2001, a lot of fun. We're going to be giving out plenty of flyers to everyone in attendance, hopefully skyrocket our listenership. And we're also having our special agent in the field, Warp Shadow, giving out flyers at SecureCon 2005 in April in Washington. So anybody attending there, stop on by and grab one of the ASO Radio flyers. Very snaz. I think we better wrap the show up. Okay, well, I think that I can speak for everyone here and say, shut up, Envy! But more importantly, I think we've all had a lot of fun today, blabbed about a lot of stuff, and really, I think we need to stay away from the freestyling. So keep that fan mail coming, and be sure to join us at NDK 2005 next year. We're actually going to be hitting up more than one con. So be staying tuned for those announcements. And what do you guys think? Should we throw a party at the con?
No.
Well, we heard that first. Big party at NZ17's room at the con. Anyways, for episode 70, season 6 of ASO Radio, this is NZ17,
Z-Guy,
and DB3,
signing out.